Mark chapter 7, we're going to read verse 21. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Read again this time in 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. The occasion when Jonathan protects David, who was under the wrath of his father, King Saul. He warns him to flee because his life is in great peril. Verse 3 says, And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Now turn again, please, this time in the New Testament again, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. My last reading in the book of Luke, in chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, and chapter 16. We'll read from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There are some things that are out of our reach tonight. We'll never make it, and we know that. We might have had great ambitions and great desires and hoped that things would have worked out better in our life, but somehow tonight they're out of reach. I broke down in the mountains here on our way to this conference. It was rather remarkable that three men that I came in contact with at that time were three men who had broken lives. All three of them were men who befriended me, gave me a help. And I said to him, it's very nice for you men to stop and even go to all the trouble to get a part for my car, bring it back and help me put it on. One of them was a rough, ungodly fellow. He's a bouncer in one of the local taverns. And the other fellow, he had a job, but he was kind of off work now because his nerves were bad. And another man I talked to, he was a tow truck driver. He didn't get the job fixed, as you can imagine. But anyway, why I want to mention these three men is simply this. These men had reached out for something and had hoped that happiness would be found, and they never found it. One man, after 10 years of marriage, his wife picked up and went up with another man, and he was left with three children. The other man, the bouncer, he was only married for 3 months, and his wife left him. And the tow truck driver was a man who had a married life and a breakup in his life. Wife left him and there was a divorce. And then he said, I started to go with another girl. And he said, just 2 weeks or a week before we were to get married, she was killed suddenly in an accident. And all these three men were reaching for something in life, but they had missed it. And they were living men who had were disillusioned and discouraged. Friend, tonight, as you sit in this meeting, you think about your life, and you think of things that you've reached out for, and somehow or another, as you were reaching out, there were just like a bubble, and it looked like it was going to be something to it, and you punched it, and suddenly it all faded away. Maybe a marriage. Maybe with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Maybe in a job. Maybe in an opportunity to climb the ladder of fame, or in a political field, or perhaps maybe in the business world. You suddenly thought, I've got my arms around it, and it was gone. That reminds me of what Jesus said. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? He got everything that was here, he still has to die. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world, and then after he died, his soul? That friend which lives within that body of yours, you can't take it out like your heart. But it's you that lives within that body. What should it profit you if you got all your ambitions, if you could attain to all of your desires, all that you wanted? And at the end of it, you lay down your little life, and your soul goes out into eternity. What shall it profit a man, said Jesus, if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now that's what we want to think about tonight. And though there are things that are out of reach, friends, there are some things that are very, very close to us. We've read about four of them tonight.
Sin is very, very close. It's in your heart. That's what Jesus said. Very near. Death. You don't want to think about it. It could be very near. Remind you of that tonight. It's a new step across your life.
Then, friend, we have something to tell you tonight in the background of these most solemn things that God would have us to think about and have our hearts thirst about tonight, is that in the darkness of our soul and in the uncertainty of life, God has provided for us a salvation. And it's very near. It's not far. You can have it. God has provided it, and it can be yours.
I want you to remind you as well
that if you live, my friend, in your sin, and you live in unforgiven sin, and you die in your sin, there is a place called hell where every sinner will be to die. Well, what's in this heart? This heart of ours that seems to be tossed to and fro? The old prophet Isaiah, he put it this way. He said, the wicked are like the troubled sea, they cannot rest. Sometimes things seem to be calm, and the water isn't rough, and it looks nice, and it's nice to travel on in the boat when the sea isn't rough. But there are times, and you don't know when, it's going to be moved up, and it's going to be rough. And God says, the old prophet says, for God, the wicked are like the troubled sea, they cannot rest, whose waters cast up fire and dirt. And Jesus follows and he says these words, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness. Oh, what a list. As Jesus penetrates into the very souls of men and women, and he gets right down to where they are living and what they are thinking, and he knows your heart tonight, and he knows within that heart that there are evil thoughts, and there are adulteries, and there are fornications, and there are murders. And our whole society is built on these sins, and they are molded into our magazines, and they're molded on the television screen, and they're molded in the radio, and they're molded all around, because this is what the evil heart responds to. Evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy and pride, All these foolish things come out of the heart, said Jesus Christ. And it's very close to us. You know, we're so foolish. We think somehow or another, if we could just gain this little utopia that we have in our minds, that everything would be fine. If I could just have this and get this. Reminded here not too long ago, a year or so ago, of Elvis Presley. And here was a young man, brought up in humble circumstances, very attached to his mother, and the first time that he played in an audience in a school auditorium like this, he was very shy. But as he played that music, there was something about in which he played it that captured the very emotions and inner beings of the people that listened to him. And when he wanted to come back again, he ran off the stage. He was frightened, very shy. But you know, as he got eased in, and as he got playing the type of music that came into his soul, and as he expressed it to meet the people, and as they responded to that, he suddenly rose to stardom and became a very wealthy young man. And yet here he is, at the very pinnacle of faith and coming down the ladder, still in his early 40s. One day his younger brother, by marriage, or I should say through his mother's marriage, by marriage, God had begun dealing about him and his sin, and he was discouraged. His brother bought him a new Cadillac every year. In fact, he said he had 16 cars over a period of a few years. He would go to the high school where he was going, and he would sell signed autographs of Elvis for $10, and he got onto the drugs, and he got into the drinking, and he got into the sex, and he was just living it up and living it up and living it up until he found that all that was coming from within his heart was that which did not satisfy him. It was nothing but evil and sin and wickedness found in the very woof and warp of his soul, and he was sick of sin in his ways, and God in his mercy brought along to him the message of the gospel and captured his mind and began to speak to his soul. And one day, just the very day before Elvis took an overdose and went out into eternity, he came to him. He said, Elvis, I'm in trouble. He said, Elvis was a very generous man. He said, what's the trouble, kid? He said, whatever it is, whatever it costs, he said, I'll pay for it. I'll get you clean. What is it? Well, he said, it's nothing like that. He said, Elvis, I'm sick and tired of the way in which I am living. And he said, I'm troubled about my sins. And he said, I'm concerned about my soul. And I'm concerned about God. And I'm thinking about being saved. He said, I'll never forget it. Elvis sat up in that chair alert. And he looked at him and he said, kid, he said, I think it's time for all of us to stop messing around and get right with God. Before 24 hours, Elvis was gone into eternity. And I want to say, my friend, I think it's time for men and women and boys and girls tonight in this meeting to stop messing around with sin and get right with God. Because sin, my friend, will take you to death, and sin will take you down in eternal separation from God. And that's what God wants to speak to you about tonight. He loves you, the sinner, but he hates your sin. And if you live in your sin and you die in unforgiven sin, my friend, you must meet God in all his justice. You must meet God, my friend, at the end of the road. And he doesn't want you to meet you in your sin. He doesn't want to find you, my friend, at the gates of death without a Savior. He doesn't want to find you step over, my friend, into eternity, an unforgiven soul. He wants to see. But I want to say tonight, as you're walking through life in your sins, you're walking over a rotten covering. And you don't know what step, my friend, is going to take you from time into eternity. Death is coming on the judgment day, and there's no use of saying and putting up your hand, stay away, I won't die. You will die. And it is appointed unto man once to die. And they might write a book, my friend, and talk about the glories of what they saw and the beauty that they saw in heaven and all the rest of it as they were so-called clinically dead and came back to life again. That's a delusion of the devil. It's amazing to me that the book never tells of one who happened to go on the other side and came back screaming out the reality, it's real, it's real, it's true. Just as God says there's a heaven, there's a hell. Men like to be in the delusion that everybody in all their sins, no matter who they are, one day will all be in heaven and everything is going to be all right. You know, I was so foolish and ignorant in my sins before God saved me that when I used to drink with my buddies, we used to sit and we would be drinking together and we'd say, I wonder what kind of brand of beer that God's going to have in heaven. And we had the idea that heaven would be a place where we could enjoy all of our sins. My friend, I want to tell you tonight that heaven is a holy place. And it's prepared, my friend, for a people who have been born again of the Holy Spirit, regenerated and made new creatures in Christ Jesus, whose sins have been taken away. Death, my friend, may not be very far from you tonight. A number of years ago, in a place called Lewisport in Newfoundland, we had a missionary boat, the gospel messenger, and we were preaching on the wharf in the open air. My, there were hundreds of people that came to listen to the gospel. There were some nights in that summer, I can remember it now, as darkness began to fall, you could almost hear a pin drop. The people were hungry to hear the word of God and the word of salvation to their weary souls. One night after the meeting, rather late in the evening, a man who lived right alongside of the wharf and ran a small hotel came down aboard the boat. He said, gentlemen, he said, we've been listening to your preaching and it's stirring us up. And he said, I've got something I'd like to ask you or something I want to tell you. He said, you know, my old father, he was on the sea all ever since a young man. And he traveled the sea all his lifetime. And when he got too old, he said, to travel in the sea, he said he was a skipper of a ship. And he said he retired. And he retired here in Lewisport. He said, my father was an ungodly man. And a sweary man. And yet there was something about him. In all that, he said, there had a fear of God about him. But he said, you know, in his last days, I was coming up the stairs, down the hallway, and the door was ajar a little. And he said, I thought I heard someone talking, and I stopped and I listened. Then I pushed the door open a little bit, and I saw my old father on his knees, and he was praying. And he said, I listened to what he had to say. And this is one of the things he was praying. He was saying, oh God, my ship is heading for the rocks. And I can't seem to bring it around. I can't seem to bring it around. He said, gentlemen, he said, I don't know whether my old father ever brought the ship around or not. As he was ending life and heading for eternity. And friend, you're heading for death and eternity, and your ship, my friend, is without a captain. And as you steer your little vessel down to life's journey, friend, and you think sometimes you have in control, I want to tell you, my friend, you haven't got the pilot, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. You haven't, my friend, the pilot to take you through the portals of the shadow of death and into that glorious eternity. Christ, friend, is outside of your life tonight, and inside of that soul there is sin. And then, my friend, facing you tonight is death. And your ship is heading for the rocks. And I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, that your ship has got to be brought around, or you're going to head into the rocks, and your soul is going to be lost forever and ever and ever. That's why God says to us, poor sinners tonight, salvation isn't very far. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved the world. Yes, he loves the world, friend. He loves them all in China. He loves them all in Africa. He loves them all down in South America. He loves them in North America. He loves them in Great Britain. He loves them in Argentina. He loves them on the Falkland Islands. God so loved the world. Never doubt, my friend, the fact that God loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but he loves you this Saturday night. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God had only one son, and he gave him to die for a sinner like you and a sinner like me. Oh, think, friend, tonight of the love of God so great, so free. There's no love, my friend, in all the universe of God that can outdo or outdisplay the love of God. His only son given to the cross of Calvary. Why, my friend, was he there as the bearer of sin? Why did he die? Why did he suffer? Why did he bear his divine bosom to the divine wrath of Almighty God? Why, my friend, was he there in humiliation, hanging in death? The Christ of God, the Holy One, the one, my friend, who had never sinned, and yet there he is on that cross, and he's bearing your sin. He's dying for every sin you ever committed. All the times you took his name in vain, the adulteries and the fornication and the lasciviousness and the evil thought and the murders and the theft, my friend, were all taken by Jesus Christ as he died on that cross. Isaiah the old prophet put it this way, he was wounded for our transgression, our law breaking. He was bruised, he was tormented for our sin, our iniquity. And the chastisement for our peace, the chastisement and wrath of God that should have fallen upon us, fell upon him. And by his life, by his sufferings, my friend, we're saved. That's what it's all about tonight. He was bruised for our iniquity. Salvation isn't very far. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, you'll confess this one as your Lord. Coming out of the crowd and out of sin, friend, you confess Jesus as the one, only one that can save you in all your sins. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, and we present to you tonight a living Savior, one who's at God's right hand. We're not presenting to you, my friend, one who has no power to reach down and save your soul and change your life. We're talking, my friend, about the resurrected Christ who rose from the dead and his power on earth to forgive sin and power, my friend, to keep you and power, my friend, to take you into that glorious heaven, a cleansed soul, saved, born of the Spirit, happy and justified and in God's heaven forever. Salvation, my friend, is not far from you tonight if you'll only confess Jesus as Lord, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, may God let you take a hold of that tonight, friend. And I tell you on the authority of God's word, you will be saved. If you go to hell, I'll go with you. But you won't. Because that's the unchangeable word of God. I'm reluctant to close. Hell isn't very far if you miss the cross. So, my friend, it's just maybe the next step to death without Christ. That's an awful thing. We read about a man, and with this we're going to close tonight. He was a noted man. He was one of the men that fared sumptuously every day. But underneath those robes that he had, those beautiful robes and garments that he had, there was a sinning and troubled heart. Under those robes, my friend, was the finest food, yet there was in his stomach the finest food, and yet in that soul he was starved, my friend, spiritually. He had no peace with God. And here is a man, he was a noted man, and he lived a wasted life, and he died a lost soul. So, friend, tonight, you may not be a noted man. Not many people may know you. with your weight in your life. And unless you take Christ as your Savior, you'll soon be a lost soul. I close with this. The island of Lewis, it's off of the coast of Scotland, the Hebrides, the end of the Second World War, First World War. 200 soldiers or more were coming home. It was New Year's Eve. And that boat was at sky. The orders were given. The pulley anchors or untie the rope and sail for the Hebrides New Year's Eve and land there the next morning. And of course, as the night wore on, the men were drinking, and the sailors were drinking. It was New Year's Eve. Everyone was having a good time, and looking forward to getting on that shore the next morning to meet with loved ones in whom they had been parted for a long time. As they were coming into the harbor in the early morning, a young soldier who knew the land and knew what was there in the water, he went up to the skipper who had been drinking, and he said, "Skipper," he said, "I think you should haul off the point here." He said, "There's some rocks here." He said, "Skipper, you better haul off." And the skipper was drinking, and he looked to the young man. He said, "Go to hell. Get off the bridge." But he said, "Skipper," he said, "get off the bridge." The young man went down. Only a few minutes later, the idler went onto those rocks. "My friend, not any further was the land from here to the fence out there." But as that ship lay helpless, and as the waves began to break the stern of that ship onto the shore, brave men tried to get a line in those early mornings, in that early morning to the shore. There was only a handful that escaped. So close to home, almost to the shore, and yet they died. They went down to a watery grave, and they were so close. And I feel perhaps tonight there's someone that has heard the gospel and you've heard it tonight. And you may be very close to getting to the heavenly shore, to getting to Christ. But I wonder, my friend, as you linger in the merry ground of sin and a wasted life, you're suddenly going to hit the rocks, as it were. Death is going to take you away in sight of the heavenly shore. And your soul will be lost forever. I close with it. It's dead. In hell, he lifts up his eyes to him. Christ was tormented on the cross for your sin. You can have that tonight in his face. If you reject that, you'll be tormented for your own. You'll make it work. You are responsible.